Hey guys, my name is Jude Mishlin, and welcome to A Day with Digga. Now, Digga is a family man, a joy to be around, and most importantly, my grandfather. In today's episode, we'll be talking about my grandfather's life and how he got to where he is today. In just a minute, we will get a few words from the person who knows him the most, my grandma. My grandma is the sweetest, fairest, and most loving person you will ever meet. She believes Digga has leadership qualities, but don't take that from me. Hear from her. Grandma, how would you describe Digga, your husband?
Oh, okay. So, I would say he's kind, he's fair, he's loving, and patient.
Now, these qualities have helped him live a great life that not many people get to experience, which is why we are interviewing him today. We will finally get into the life of Digga, and we first talk about his childhood. This was very exciting to learn about, and I learned new things within seconds of starting the interview. Can you tell us where you grew up?
Well, I grew up kind of all over. I was born in Houston and spent most of my early childhood in Oklahoma, Oklahoma City and Ponca City, then moved back to Houston for high school, then went off to Lubbock for college and back to Houston for law school, and have lived in Houston ever since.
How many siblings did you have?
I had two brothers and two sisters, one older brother, one younger brother, and both of my sisters are younger.
What's one of your favorite memories from childhood?
Oh gosh, there's so many. I was thinking about this the other day, and as much as I didn't think it would be a memory at the time, I really enjoyed my time in Boy Scouts. My father was a scoutmaster, and we had a very active Boy Scout troop. We did camps every week or every month, and I had some really memorable camping trips. Learned a lot about outdoorsmanship as a Boy Scout.
So I know you grew up around Vietnam time, right?
Yes.
So do you know what your draft number was?
It was 133.
Was that considered low?
It's kind of middle of the pack. By the time I was subject to the draft, the war was winding down, and I got my draft number, my lottery number, in I believe it was 1973, and the draft was winding up. The war was winding down. I don't believe they called above 95 or so that year.
Do you remember meeting Grandma? Like, do you remember the first time you met her?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I was the summer after my junior year in college. She was an incoming freshman and came in for freshman orientation. And me and a friend of mine were hanging outside the girls' dorm just seeing who was coming in as freshmen. And we met two girls. One of them was your grandmother. And we ended up dating my senior year, her freshman year. And then she went off to nursing school, and I came to law school, and she transferred back to Houston to finish nursing school. And we got married after my second year in law school.
So wait, I know this is kind of a bad question, but did y'all have, like, phone numbers back then, so could y'all like communicate?
Yes, we had phone numbers, and they weren't crank telephones. No, but they did. They were rotary dial phones for the most part. But yes, actually, it's kind of a funny story. After she went back to Dallas after orientation, and I went and finished up the summer school classes that I was in, and then my senior year, the fall, we ran into each other again, standing in line for homecoming tickets my senior year. So we exchanged phone numbers then, and we were able to keep up.
What did you major in college?
I was a business major.
What made you go to Texas Tech? Because I know there were a ton of colleges you could have gone to.
Interesting story, probably not a good one for y'all to emulate. I was not really an overachiever in high school. I had great grades. I did well on my placement tests, so I could have gone to pretty much any school I wanted to go to. But I just picked one, and picked Tech because it was as because it was in-state. My parents would pay for in-state tuition, and it was as close as I could get to the ski slopes, and that's what I was really interested in, was going skiing.
So you chose your college because of the skiing?
Yeah, basically.
That's pretty cool. It was,
like I said, don't follow in my footsteps. Pick a college for better reasons.
At this point, I truly am fascinated because he has already given us so much about his childhood. I may or may not have felt dumb about the question with the telephone, but that is okay, because me and him continued to talk about just like the rest of his life, which was super interesting. I know you're an attorney, but what was your big break in your legal career?
That is a great question. And I will tell you that I have been really lucky in my life three times. Well, maybe four if you can include. I had great parents. My parents, Jude's great-grandparents, were wonderful people, and they were very, very smart, and they always made me feel like there were a lot of things I wasn't allowed to do, but there was nothing that I wasn't capable of doing. So they always encouraged me to do anything I want. But I've been lucky. As a lawyer, I finished law school and did well, and went into industry. And when I was very young, a chief executive officer of a company in Houston decided to start a legal department, and he picked me to start it. And it was just one of those kind of lucky things. I wasn't probably the most qualified person, but he saw something in me that I didn't see in myself, and thought that I would make a good company lawyer, and hired me. And I started the law department at Stewart & Stevenson in 1979, and was their general counsel for 20 years. So that was probably what really made a difference. And Joe Manning was his name. He was a wonderful inspiration and mentor.
What music did you like growing up?
Oh, gosh, I liked everything except opera. Never have enjoyed opera, but I played in a garage band when I was in middle school. A little bit into high school, so I played rock and roll, everything from Buddy Holly. We couldn't play the Beatles; their music was too hard. But we played a lot of the simpler rock and roll. And as an adult, I've gone through different phases where I like everything from classical music to Western and rock and roll. I still like classic rock. So. If you look at my playlist, it'll have everything from Billie Eilish to Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Really? Oh, this is a good question. How many continents have you been to?
All of them except Antarctica.
Really?
Yeah.
Were they for business or for
business? Almost all of it for business. Like I said, I was very lucky in my legal career. As the general counsel at Stewart & Stevenson, I traveled extensively to all over the world. I've been to, it's not as unusual now to find people traveling a lot, but back in the 80s, it was not that common to travel extensively. But I've worked on projects in South America, Brazil and Argentina, and Europe, from Italy and France and the Netherlands, the UK, in Asia, in the Middle East, India, Southeast Asia, and Singapore. In Australia. I've been, like I said, to every continent. Antarctica. We didn't do any projects in Antarctica.
That would have been really cool, though.
Yeah, it would have been. I got close. At Cape Point in South Africa, you can look south, and there's a few rocks that you can see, but the next stop is Antarctica.
So, we've had this house for a while, ever since I was born, and my parents. How long have you been this house?
We have been in this house since 1989. So what is that? 26 years? No, 36 years.
36 years. How many children did you have?
I had three children. Jude's mother, Anna, is the oldest daughter. Middle daughter is Katie. She's a school teacher in Pearland. And youngest daughter is Sarah. She's an investment banker here in Houston.
Do you have any favorite memories with your kids?
We did a lot of, we participated in a lot of different things. I guess one of my favorite memories with my children was going to Hawaii for an ice skating competition in which Jude's mother did very well. Jude's Aunt Katie did okay. Jude Sarah won second out of two.
Out of two?
Yes, there were only two entrants into her class, and she was second.
Silver.
Yeah. But it was a great memory. It was a wonderful trip. We did, we would travel and as a family and do things as family. We went skiing some to a little place in Colorado that we like to go. We went to family reunions. My mother's family is very large. She was from eight children. And so we would once a year gather at Labor Day at the family homestead in Oklahoma. And all of the cousins, Jude probably doesn't remember playing in the red dirt there until he was covered, just hanging out with family members.
Oh, what cars did you work on with your dad? Because I was reminded by my mom that you did.
I did. As I ran out, as I became not good enough to compete in sports, I took up other interests in automobiles, and doing things with my hands has always been a hobby. My father and I, he grew up on a farm, and he was a very bright man, but he was also very good at mechanics. And we maintained all the family automobiles, and that led to me at some point in high school starting to work on race cars. And so I got involved with some other kids that we just built racing cars, and not legitimate racing cars, street racing cars. So I worked on a lot of different types of cars, from Mustangs to Camaros to Chevelles, some big Dodge products. Ultimately, I got interested in smaller cars, and the last one I worked on was an English car, a Lotus. So,
did you participate in any races, and were like the races like more of like drifts, or were they actually like?
No, they were. I did participate in a lot of different races. The drifting hadn't been invented yet. They were mostly drag races, if you've seen American Graffiti, that was a drag race, the big scene in that movie. Participated in a number of those. I'm a horrible driver, so I never really became a driver. I was a better mechanic.
So my mom participated in a science fair, and she says, like, that she invented the Roomba technically. I didn't really believe her.
She did. It was a science fair project. She and I, we decided we were going to, I don't remember if it was a science fair or if it was a robotics fair. Mm-hmm. I think it was robotics. And we bought a little robot mouse that would go around your house and bump into walls and just and change directions and go, and you could program it to make it go a certain way. So we took the brain out of that mouse and put it onto a carriage and glued a dust buster onto the carriage and programmed it to vacuum the hall so that it would go forward 3 or 4 inches, then back up and turn and go forward another. So it was a very early iteration of the Roomba. She did. It was her idea. She did it.
Who did most of the technician work though?
We worked on it together. Mm-hmm. We, you know, I was the venture capitalist and she was the idea person. It was actually our idea was that if you could build one of any size, you could program them to vacuum the hallways in hotels, and you wouldn't have to have a maid in the hotel to vacuum the hallways. They just have these giant vacuum machines that would be programmed to go up and down the hallways. That was the idea.
Well, that's actually really cool. I never believed her because she always like said whatever. It's true.
She did.
Y'all didn't get like a.
And had we been visionary enough, we could have kept the wall mounted the interference thing that. From the mouse that bumped into walls and turned the mouse and made it into a real Roomba.
That would have been super cool.
So that would have been in about, let's see, she would have been in middle school. She graduated in 2002. So that would have been in the 1990s.
Oh. Whatever, remember the legal question, like, what started your career? Did you get in any, like, big trouble growing up? Like, did you sneak out? Or
Oh, yeah, really? Absolutely.
Can you give me any examples of what you did?
No.
Did you have a best friend growing up?
I did. I had friends in pretty much every place. My best friend in Oklahoma City was a guy named Nick Vasili. I don't know whatever happened to him. But we lost track when I moved out of Oklahoma City. My best friend in high school in Houston was a guy named Ken Morgan, and we hung around together. We did crazy high school things like cut in class and go to the beach, go surfing instead of going to class. We never got caught at that. At least nobody ever punished us for it. He is now with a company over in Mississippi. And then my best friend from college is a guy named Ken Gregory, who was the best man at my wedding. And we still see Ken and his wife regularly.
Now, I know the last few questions, or to be honest, almost the whole podcast, the questions are kind of like, here's some of your childhood, here's some of your recently, here's just some of like your middle life. It was all over the place, besides like the beginning. But honestly, it didn't really matter because it kind of got to show the perspective of Digga, and honestly, I'm really grateful for the experiences I have not only gained from this podcast, but from the moment I was born, I've been able to see him and my family, and I'm so blessed to have him every single step of the way, from when he picks me up at school to when I visit him for Christmas or Thanksgiving. I'm just so grateful, and this podcast really shows what a good man who has good intentions should look like. I don't really know how else to explain it, but this podcast just has enlightened me so much and to know what I can be like when I grow up. And I know I want to be, maybe not have the same job or maybe not have the same house, although that would be pretty cool. All that stuff would be cool, but I want to have the same work ethic. I want to be the same family man as him. I want to be the person that everyone knows and loves. And that's what makes Digga so special, not him starting a company or him making it, like, just, I don't know what it is about him, but everyone, the moment you meet him, you can just tell he's a friendly person. You can just tell he's someone you would want to have by your side every step of the way. I'm so grateful for this podcast, and that concludes A Day with Digga.